Hey-ho, and what do you know, and welcome everybody to another edition of After Further Review. I'm your host, Alex Hale, and oh boy, do we got a show for you. The Cleveland Browns, one game left in the year, and everything is on the line, and they lose to the Jets last night, and all hell is broken loose in Browns fans, and I'm here to be your guide. I am here to not rant and rave, but I'm here to be your guide to this last week. You know, I rant and rave a lot, and there's going to be a small rant here because there's a freaking idiot on Twitter, and I want to address him on the pod, even though I blocked his ass. He deserves it, honestly. Like, I don't know how you can be this stupid unless if my point I made from August is true, that there are fans who actively want the Browns to lose consistently. They will do everything to make sure that their voice is heard, that they can be miserable. And I'll get to it in a minute. But more importantly, I want to be your guide into this pivotal week in Browns history, something that I believe is going to be a turning point in Browns history for the better. For the better, I believe. But let's get this out of the way. Look, the Browns played like shit yesterday against the Jets. They had no wide receivers. They had no left tackle, no right guard. And the Jets knew they were going to run the ball. So they stacked everyone up. And they pressured with probably too many men for an O-line with two guys who shouldn't be in that position in where they're at. They were overwhelmed. And it was clear on the tape. The O-line was overwhelmed. The wideouts were overwhelmed. They weren't ready to be out there. They didn't know the playbook. When you don't know the playbook, you're kind of screwed. If you don't know what route you're supposed to run, what do you expect is supposed to happen? The Browns got down. They fought like they have all freaking year. Fought their way back, and it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Props to the Jets. Do we think they got lucky that our wideouts were out? Yes, they got very lucky. If Donovan Peoples-Jones, Rashard Higgins, and Jarvis Landry are playing that game ends so much differently. So much differently than it did. Do I think the Browns win? Yes. Do I think it's a blowout? No. Do I think it's a close game? Yes. This Jets team beat the Rams last week. They ain't no slouches. They're coming out to play. Props to them. Did Stefanski throw the ball way too much? Yes, he did. But when you're down 17 points, you kind of have to throw the ball. That's basic logic. You throw the ball to get the yards back, and if it's incomplete, you stop the clock, all that stuff. Should he have run the ball more? Sure. But I think the Jets knew that the Browns were going to rely heavily on the run, so Stefanski tried everything in his power to open up the passing game and then get the running game going because he knew they were going to stack. There was no good answer to running an offense yesterday. Now, who do you blame? Now, for me, personally, I'm looking at Roger Goodell right now, and I'm asking, why do the Ravens, when Dez Bryant tests positive, literally in the locker room, literally on the field, with COVID around his teammates, can be escorted out of the game, and everyone else can stay in? But when the Browns get COVID and the players are testing negative, that they're fine, even though they were in close proximity, the Browns have to play down guys. Now, it is what it is. The Browns had to step up and they didn't. Fair enough. They lost that game. I'm going to sit here and admit defeat. But when you hold the Baltimore Ravens to different rules compared to the Broncos and the Browns, I'm going to throw the Broncos in here because, God damn it, they may be a losing team right now, but they shouldn't be left out of this goddamn conversation. If you are going to show favoritism to the Baltimore Ravens over the Broncos, Browns, other teams in the league, then you need to be fired from your job. You cannot be trusted as a commissioner of a football league because it creates the optics of it's scripted. I've been saying it for years. The commissioner will play favorites. If he can screw over the teams he doesn't like, he will do it. This only furthers the optics of you have a corrupt commissioner who plays favorites. Now, is it really scripted? Debatable. I think if he could script it, he would. I mean, that's honestly my case. I've said it for years. If Roger Goodell could screw the Browns every year and keep them out of the playoffs, he would do it because he knows we're sheep and we'll buy the merchandise every year. But if, let's say, the Steelers don't win or the Ravens don't win, God forbid that were to ever happen, he's terrified he'll lose the revenue. So he's got to make sure they win. And for breaking their COVID protocol, they're only fined $250,000, but the Titans are forfeiting a pick. No, you got to hold these teams to equal standards. And Roger Goodell has failed at his job. And we as fans of the NFL need to point out to Roger Goodell, you are not holding teams to the same rules. Either change and admit you've made errors or resign immediately. Because the way this has been handled for everyone, it shows everyone's playing by different rules, and it isn't fair to the rest of everyone. It's not just the Browns. It's the Broncos, the Steelers, the Bengals, the Titans, all these teams that have been affected or possibly affected by this. Like, they put the Steelers' health at risk by having the Ravens play after Dez Bryant tested positive. If I'm the Steelers, I'm livid over the fines of just a $250,000 fine. I want a fourth, fifth round pick taken away. They put my guys at risk. F you. Like, I get it. It's a well-oiled machine and they're all about money, but we got to start holding them accountable. We got to hold them to standards. That's all I'm saying. I'm not complaining about losing because, oh, we didn't have guys. Did it play a factor? Yes. But did we have chances of winning? Yes. Do I think the refs didn't do us many favors? Yes. But we lost. Plain and simple. You lost to a team that beat the Rams last week. They're playing good football right now. Props to them. They showed up. We didn't. End of story. Now, for people on Twitter who say we need to fire Stefanski if he doesn't make the playoffs, I'm going to say his name because at Martin Sismar on Twitter, make sure you all remember this name because he is no longer a Browns fan. He is banned. He says that we should fire Stefanski if he doesn't make the playoffs, if he loses because he's a choker. But yet, Mike Tomlin, Sean McVay, Frank Reich, who lost to the Jags, the Bengals, and the Jets, respectively, shouldn't be fired. They're great coaches. Can we talk about how much of a shit show the Steelers were in 2018? I mean, a YouTuber by the name of Urinating Tree did a weekly segment called Days of Our Steelers because of this shit show that was Pittsburgh, and they choked away a division they should have easily won. You're really telling me Mike Tomlin shouldn't have been fired after that? I would have fired him, my God. Like, and they've just been okay. They had a soft schedule. They played up to it, and they've been iffy. They've been iffy down the stretch. You see the faults with Pittsburgh. Now, Is it on Mike Tomlin? Maybe. Is it on others? Sure, it probably is. But to see what Juju has become when he was the calm one compared to Antonio Brown shows me there is a culture problem in Pittsburgh where players lose their focus. That is a more fireable offense than Stefanski losing to the Jets when he tried to make everything work and he just didn't have a great game plan for the scenario that he had. That's a more fireable offense for just not having the best game plan. When you game plan all week and Saturday, you can't run it because all your players are gone and you just have to try to make it work. What do you expect is going to happen? I'm not trying to defend them. He called a horrible game, but he did what he was trying to do, was establish the pass when he knew they were going to box the line. He did everything in his power to get it going. Was it right? No, because he should have run more screens. I'll fault him for that. But he did what he thought was going to open up the running game for him. Didn't work. Back to the drawing board. Hopefully the receivers are healthy. Let's move on to Pittsburgh. But to sit there and say he should be fired, and then defend it after saying, well, these coaches are losing and choking in big games, and defend the lie that he's saying. I mean, Frank Reich just choked away controlling his own destiny. He had a 17-point lead in the Steelers. Frank Reich should be fired. He choked it away too. And yet, on top of it all, the two other coaches I mentioned, because this guy talks about track records. Let me debunk this because, again, the guy's a total dumbass. Mike Tomlin was a DB coach with the Bucks. Great. He never called a play. He never called a play. He was a Kiffin, a Monty Kiffin disciple. Great. Awesome. Then he spent 1 year with Brad Childress and the Vikings. He made them a top 10 defense. Great. Awesome. They finished third in the division. They were 6-10. Then became the Steelers head coach. What track record are you talking about with Mike Tomlin before he became head coach? Oh, but he won the first year. Yeah, because it was a team that was built off of a Super Bowl champion led by Bill Cowher, and you had a young quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger and a great defense. Shut up. If you had a team like that, you don't have excuses. This is a team that was in shambles out of Freddie Kitchens' mess that he created. And yet we have 10 wins. But let's go to Sean McVay, because I want to point this out, because Sean McVay is the offensive genius that he is. You guys understand in rankings, the 1 year he made the playoffs, he was middle of the pack. Middle of the pack in terms of offensive yardage. Middle of the pack. It wasn't until the next year in 2016 when they finished third in the NFC East when he had a top offense in the league. And sure, in LA, he's had a top offense every year. No question about it. But let's be real. He had the effective offense that should have been the one that beat Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl. He choked. He choked. And ever since then, yes, he's had four winning seasons. I'm not saying he's not a great coach. He's a great coach. He's a brilliant offensive mind. Do I think Goff is the answer? I don't know. But he's made Goff into a very good quarterback. But you sit here and yet he's been underwhelming the past two seasons, despite having an effective offense. Now, I will say he hasn't had Todd Gurley, and I think that's a big factor of his offense. He needs a running game, but that's debatable. But he did lose to the Jets. He didn't have much of a track record before this. What are you talking about in terms of success? The only one that had success is Frank Reich, because he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles by calling their plays and making Nick Foles into a Super Bowl MVP. Great for him. You literally contradict yourself every step of the way, Martin. I mean, you are an idiot. You are a fucking idiot. And I don't know what to say other than you need to go root for Pittsburgh. You're not welcome as a Browns fan. Get out. Please, root for another team. You're not welcome here. And we need to start telling this guys, to tell this guy, as people on Twitter, we need to push him out. We need the toxic energy out of this fan base. Sure, we can be pissed after a loss, but the call for someone's head over losing to the Jets, my God, you're just a miserable piece of lard, man. Oh, my Lord. Get help. Get help. I mean, it's the Stockholm Syndrome that I've been long talking about. Browns fans have Stockholm Syndrome. They've been losers for so long, they don't know anything else, and they're used to it, and they miss it. They miss being the lovable loser. We're not that anymore. In fact, we're about to kill some demons this weekend, guys. So this Sunday, your Cleveland Browns will take on the Pittsburgh Squealers in a showdown. All the Browns have to do is win. And for the first time since 2002, 2003, the Cleveland Browns will be in the playoffs. You know, I remember that game. I remember that Falcons game. I remember where I was. I remember that day very vividly. I remember I was 12 years old. I remember my mom and I were going to visit my dad at work. He was working at a Best Buy, I think, that weekend. Yeah, it was, because we went the next week when the Steelers game. I remember that one vividly. Funny story, we watched Brown Steelers on a miniature TV at the front of the store of Parma Best Buy. Literally, everyone was huddled around it in that first half, and we were going insane. And then we went home, and I heard the Steelers coming back. I was like, oh, no, this can't be good. But that Sunday, I remember, my mom and I went to Heinen's. I remember that because when we started to leave Heinen's, that's when Tim Couch went down. I remember hearing that. I remember being a huge Tim Couch fan. Still am to this day. Still am a Tim Couch truther. And my heart ached. Like, he got us there. Like, no, he can't go down. And I remember Kelly Holcomb coming in. And, you know, I was like, okay, I kind of trust Holcomb. He's okay. You know, we'll see what he can do. And he kept us in it. I remember we visited my dad quickly. Then we went home. And I remember we were pulling into our driveway and William Green broke the run. He broke the run. Run, William, run. I remember hearing that and I was losing my mind. I remember running out of the car, running upstairs, seeing that replay. I'm losing my mind. I know we're going to win. I remember watching us stop them and I lost my mind knowing we were in the playoffs. Remember, all we had to do was win that game and we were in at our house with our fans backing us. Now you have to take down a demon that has been a thorn in the Browns' side since 2005 in the name of Ben Roethlisberger. I'm going to say this. I always knew it would come down to this. In my heart of hearts, regardless of my picks, regardless of everything, I knew it was always going to come down to all you have to do is beat Ben one time. All you have to do is beat those goddamn Steelers once. And I always knew it would come down the last week of the season. I didn't know what it was going to be for. All I knew was we had to do it one time. And if you do it one time, you're in. Because truthfully, like the Cavs, you had to come back from a 3-1 deficit to exercise the demons to win a championship. And I truly believe that for the Browns to exercise the demons of all the years of being a joke, all the years of missing the playoffs, barely, or just being at the bottom of the standings, you have to beat Pittsburgh. It has to be the ending. There always is a poetic ending with Cleveland sports. And that poetic ending is beating the Steelers. Beating the goddamn Steelers. And I think the Browns are going to do it. I think this team got a slap in the face. But I think they're kind of pissed about it. That, you know, the wide receivers are going to come back wanting to play their asses off. For Baker, for Stefanski, for their brothers. And win this game and get to the playoffs. They're going to want to play their asses off. I think Baker had a bad game, and Baker knows he's got to step it up. And you want to know what? I think he's waited all year. Now that he's so much more comfortable in this offense, I think he's been chomping at the bit for another shot at the Steelers. You saw he was chomping at the bit against the Ravens, and he played a great game. He went toe-to-toe with Lamar. You know Baker has wanted another shot. And he wants to finish this. Now, are the Steelers going to play their starters? That remains to be seen. I mean, we will see about that. If they don't, then advantage Browns. But if they do play their starters, which I honestly think they'll play a half, and they'll go from there. I think it all comes down to, can the Browns put the defensive effort together? I think they can. They showed it last week that when they have to, they can. The receivers of Pittsburgh are not going to be easy to stop. They got a bunch of weapons. It ain't going to be easy. And this defense, as I've said all year, is a bend don't break because of the lack of talent all around. They're going with guys who are practice squad kids. And they're just keeping themselves in it. They're tough, resilient. It's going to be up to that defensive front four. If they can get it going, it's going to be an interesting game. For the offense, I am more confident, especially once the receivers are back. You know, Landry, DPJ, Higgins have now established themselves, and I think the Browns are going to be ready to go. Chubb and Hunt, I think, will feel good now that the pressure is off of them, and they can probably open things up with the passing game now. And I think, again, the Steelers may not bring it as much as they might in any other situation. So it's a good chance for the Browns to get points early. And if I'm the Browns, I take a lead, and a big lead, as fast as possible. Get the Steelers to wave the white flag early. Get them to wave the white flag. Get Mason Rudolph, Anthony McFarland, all their backups in the game, and have the Steelers say to you, here's your playoff berth. We're going to test our luck and see if we face you in the first round. Because I can see the Steelers saying, have your moment of glory. We'll see you next week, and we're going to kick your ass. I can totally see it. But I think if the Browns can get a lead early and get Ben off the field and in a way exercise the demon of, okay, we can get Ben on the ropes and we can beat him. Get the players to think that, but get the fans behind the fact that we can beat Ben Roethlisberger finally. or as I like to call him, and screw it, I'm going to swear, Captain Fat Fuck. I'm going to steal it from Urinating Tree. He calls him that. A Steeler fans calls him Captain Fat Fuck. Captain Fat Fuck, leader of men. That's what he is. I love his channel, by the way. If you've not checked it out, this is just a shameless plug for him. He's great. One of the few Steeler fans I actually enjoy hearing. And he actually shows Browns respect. I don't know what he's going to do this week, but, you know, whatever. But I think now more than ever, the Browns are about to alleviate the past wounds of our fans by winning this game. And you win this game, I think it's going to open up Pandora's box in terms of the Browns believing they can do these things. The Browns knowing their backs are against the freaking wall. All they have to do is win and they're in. Because if you can do it once, win and you're in, then you can win and move on. And then do it again and again and again. This team has fought all year. One of the things I love about Stefanski is their no-quit attitude, which with Freddie Kitchens, they quit way too easy. Hugh Jackson always quit. Even Mike Patton, they quit way too easy. They are battle-tested. They're ready for this. And I'm picking the Browns to win. Barring anything unforeseen, knock on wood, I'm picking the Browns to win this game. This is the way it was supposed to be. You get this feeling of this is the way it was supposed to happen. We have our quarterback in Baker. We have our coach in Stefanski. We got to fix the defense going forward, but we have a good enough defense to get us there. You have the offensive weapons. You have all the talent needed to make it. Wyatt Teller should be back this week. Jedrick Wills should be back. Your O-line's healthy. The stage is set for you to exercise demons. And for some dumbass fans to quit on Stefanski and this Browns team, I don't care what he says. The fact that he even says we should consider it shows me he's a quitter. He's a loser. He doesn't deserve to be a Browns fan. He's not a Browns fan. I don't own him as a Browns fan. I disown the idiot. It shows me that there are some that need to go still, and it's sad. Please root for Pittsburgh. Bring your toxic energy to them this week. We need it. It's time for us as Browns fans who actually believe in this team, who actually still want to stand by this team, to unite and get behind them. It's time we end this Steeler travesty of an era. Because I think if you win this game, the consequences for the Steelers could be long-term lasting. And what I mean by that is Steelers fans think they're going to get Sam Darnold next year. I got a spoiler alert for them. Penei Sewell and Mekhi Becton is going to be the best tackle duo in the NFL in New York. And Sam Darnold's going to be their quarterback because he's winning down the stretch. You're not getting Sam Darnold. Cross him off, idiots. And the Steelers aren't smart enough to give up their first-round pick, especially after they're bounced in the first round, depending on who they face. So already I'm sitting here going like, you sure you think this is going to be the case? Okay. Captain Fatfuck returns next year. His arm's about to fall off. Juju's a free agent. I don't think they should keep him. And who knows what Claypool and Washington are going to become in bigger roles next year. Are they going to address the running backs? Are they going to address the O-line? Are they going to finally invest in an offense that's old and not as talented in certain positions? Or are they just going to keep investing in the defense, which is typical Pittsburgh? Fine by me if they do what they normally do. And Ben's arm will fall off, finally. At some point here, it is going to fall off. And he's declining. It's clear he's declining. He has his games, no doubt about it. He led them back, and props to him. But he has his bad weeks where you question if he can be the guy anymore. If the Browns win this game, when the Browns win this game, Ben is going to be like, it's not going to be an aura around him anymore. We killed the aura. The games against us won't be easy wins anymore. Then you've got Baker building confidence, Burrow returning, who had confidence, Lamar, who is Lamar. Ben may be the fourth best QB in the division next year, and the Steelers still won't replace it, and they'll still be a good team because they have a great defense. They'll win games they probably shouldn't. And then the following year, where there are some good quarterbacks in that draft, they're going to draft, because Ben probably will retire by then, they'll draft maybe the fourth or fifth best QB in that class. And they better hope it hits, or guess what? They're going to be in the gutter. They're going to be feeling what Browns fans have felt. Then Tomlin gets fired. And by then, who knows if the Rooneys have the sense to hire the right guy again. So they'll hire a guy who probably sucks, because I'm going to bet this time they'll get it wrong. And they're going to be the ones that won't fire him after 2 years. They'll keep him for four. And it'll be a perpetual cycle of the Rooneys need to go. It'll be kind of like a Detroit, where Detroit sat on Matt Patricia way too long, or they fired Jim Caldwell when they shouldn't have. They sit on guys because the owners are old. They aren't as quick-witted as they used to be, and they're not as in tune with everything. So you just go with what makes them comfortable. As the Browns, with Jimmy Haslam finally backing off, Stefanski building Baker, Andrew Berry building the team, start to build a team that consistently competes for division titles. Will they win division titles? Who knows? I can't look into the future, but I can see what Pittsburgh's doing, and it's been building for a while. And a win Sunday destroys the aura around the Steelers always being the one the Browns way. It destroys the aura once and for all. It gives the Browns players and staff and fans, when they look at that Steelers logo, they're not scared of it deep down. They want to face it. Bring them on. I'm saying it. Bring them on. I've already told my Steeler friends, bring your ass on. I'm not afraid. Yeah, we lost. I'm not afraid. Let's go. I see the weaknesses. Let's get healthy and let's expose them. It's time to kill some demons, Cleveland. It's time to kill the demons. Because once we do it, I think anything's possible with this team going forward. All you got to do is beat the goddamn Steelers. It's, in a way, think of it like this. Imagine the day, and I know I have Buckeye fans who listen, but I've been saying it for years. Find a Michigan coach that can beat Ohio State and see what happens. Because it's going to change recruits' opinions on Michigan. They're going, whoa, they can compete with them. Oh, I may want to go there. They might compete for Big Ten titles. They're one of the most prestigious programs in the nation. They got their shit together. I might go there. If Ohio State don't want me, I'll go to Michigan. I'll make them pay. It's kind of like that feeling, where if the Browns beat the Steelers and break that aura, free agents, draft players, coaches, I mean, anyone is going to say, you want to what? That they're not scared of him anymore. They're not a shit show anymore. You want to what? I want to kind of get behind this. and I love their fans. Let's do this. Let's make the Browns great again. And that was totally unintentional. Wow, but you see what I'm saying. You break the aura, you've opened up Pandora's box. And that's why it's the most fitting thing to happen. I can totally see it happening. I think it is going to happen. So I'll leave with this, because I haven't done this in a long, long time. Oh, Cleveland, don't you dare be sour. Clap for your AFC wild card champs and feel the power of positivity. The Browns are winning this Sunday, and my client, Baker Mayfield, is the one to take the Browns to the playoffs. That is not a prediction, folks. I told you this in 2018, that this was not a prediction. This, my friends, is a spoiler. Go Browns, guys. I'll talk to you next time. A little bit of programming note. First year, we're setting up our first few From the Land podcast specials. It's going to be on this channel. Don't worry. It's going to be under a different name. We've already lined up our first guest. We're figuring out when we're going to record. But Caitlin Marshall from Crunch Time with Caitlin is going to be our first guest on the From the Land podcast series. So I'm really, really excited about that. If you're expecting sports talk on this portion of the pod, you are listening to the wrong type of pod at that point. It's going to be more talking about who Caitlin is, because I've known Caitlin for years. Probably talk a lot about video games. We're going to talk about how she got into all this. Probably talk about the toxic nature of Twitter. Probably talk about our fights in the past and how we've grown as people, because, you know, Kay and I have had our problems, but, you know, we've learned from them. We've become grownups. And I promise Kay we're going to talk about the NSYNC Backstreet Boys debate, because Backstreet is better. Well, at least in my eyes. But again, keep your eyes open. Thank you for everybody who listens to the pod. I know I don't have a regular schedule. We're going to change that probably in 2021. Just been a weird past few months getting back to my job and everything. So I'm really excited about that. But now that I've kind of gotten the idea of what my schedule is, I can now plan doing shows. So I'm really excited about 2021. And I hope all of you had a great holiday season. I hope you all have a great new year. Cleveland, yes, we're going to win. Power positivity. No, we're going to ring in the new year with the Browns going to the playoffs, and I can't wait. Happy New Year, you guys. Go Browns. We'll talk to you next time.